The other guy I got to always say something about is Jed. I mean, Jed is the one that gets us this far. Probably the number one key person in our program as far as working with our players, developing our players. That's a huge phase of it, and Jed's a huge phase of this, but he's always in the background. You don't see him around, but he's a huge factor in all this stuff. And then the other person that is a right-hand person to me is Stacia, what she does for us academically. None of this happens without Jed, Stacia, and Joel putting in the extra effort here. So appreciate all those people for what they do. All right, let's talk football. We came in here August 1st. It's a good football team. And when I say that, it's great men in it. I like everything about how they interact with each other, how they work with each other. The big concept of it that I take from it, like I've told them, is we've got experienced players. We just don't have experience playing together. So the ones that are new, if you want to call them new, they've been in the program, but they haven't played, maybe side by side with a starter. You have the returning starters, and yet you have some guys that we brought into the program that will factor into our program that just got here as well. So the inexperience of playing together is the challenge, but the experience and the talent is where we need to be at this point 2 weeks before we go into the first game. So there's work to do, but there's work that's been done too. So I'll start with the offense, give you a quick review there. I know they put Theo on the cover of stuff. It isn't all about Theo, but Theo is an excellent quarterback. That's if, you know, when you start talking points and all the things that people look for, they look to the quarterback play. His confidence is what made him the player that he is. He's always had the talent. His confidence and his teammates and his offensive coaches are the ones that have created the environment that he can be successful in. So that's, you guys can talk to him. I'm sure you'll grab him. But Theo's in a good spot right now coming off last year, but he's got to prove himself every day. He'll be the target. You can see that. They put him on the target of the day in cover. So he's going to be the target of every locker room. So we know that. And so we have to prepare that way, and it'll take a team to get it done, offense, defense, and special teams, to conquer it. Secondly, I'd go with, you go to his offensive line. Big thing about the offensive line, you got Roper and Penning are the returners, and you have some new ones that we brought into the fold, if you will, some guys that have moved up. Transfers-wise, you got Josh Volk out of Iowa, and you've got Kyle Kelly out of Arkansas State, and they came into our program. They're battling for positions, but there's other ones that have stepped up their game and could be starting offensive line for us. But two that would be name media-type people coming out of the gate would be, of course, Jared Penning, who's been a three-year starter for us, and Tristan Roper, who's been a three-year, two-year starter for us, something like that. So jump to the tight ends. A lot of consistency in the tight ends. You've got Alex Allen is coming back off last year, and Lane Pryor. And those two are doing an excellent job inside. And we've moved Derek Anderson from a defensive line to the tight end position because he was a quarterback in high school, played D-tackle last year, and actually has the size. He's up to about 265 and had the athleticism to be a tight end. So we've moved him to the tight end as well with some other guys coming into the fold. But I would say those are three guys to look for if you're looking for media type things coming out of the gate here. Tight end position, I've jumped to a running back. Everybody looks to the running back kind of like they look to the quarterback. What I see at running back right now, you got Harrison Bay Bowie in out of here out of last year. Everybody saw a little bit of him towards the end of games last year. We had two 750-yard rushers last year that we have to replace along with the passing game. And so we got Harrison Bay Bowie, which is a strong, powerful back. And then we have Ty Edwards is the new name that you'll see. He technically came out of UTSA, but he was out of Butler Junior College. We recruited him out of Butler Junior College, and then he ended up here through UTSA after that semester. So Ty and Harrison and Josh Jenkins would be the three tailbacks that will, at least in the early stages of the season, that you'll see on the field at tailback for us. Going to receiver, which is a factor when you're talking about quarterback play and what we do offensively, is that you have Sergio back, of course. Sergio is a person that you'll all look to, as will the opponent. And then other people that maybe didn't have the numbers of Sergio but have the capability would be Wolf is back. Logan Wolf, coming off some injuries last year, in and out of the season. Sam Schnee is always a factor in every football game. And then newcomers to that group, Locally is Ian Collins out of Charles City. That'd be more of a local name that came back. He went and played, he ran track at Iowa last year. I recruited him out of high school, originally out of Charles City, and he wanted to go back and play football, so he is new to the football team, trying to make a name for himself. And the other two receivers that are standing out throughout camp here is Jordan Ellis Leahy. He'll be easy to find on the floor when you can see him from a distance. He's an excellent looking prospect. And then the other one is Naren Button. Naren comes to us via transfer out of Kent State, and those two are the two newcomers that will fit with the other three that I mentioned before. So that gives you a receiver core that gives us some depth. You've the tight end with some depth, the quarterback play, and then everybody will look to the second quarterback. And I would say right now there's three of them in the mix, but we'll see how that unfolds. But they've all done well, but of course we know who the starting quarterback is, so we don't have to have a quarterback controversy. Unless something happens at the main spot. So everybody good with that? All right, let's jump to defense. Defense starts with the defensive line. It'll start with Christian Boyd up front. He's been here 5 years. Christian's as good as we've had. He is a stalemate. He's been here the whole time, came out of Kansas City, loves this place, works hard for this place around 365 days out of the year. Christian is everything you want in a teammate, even as a defensive lineman, and as good as defensive lineman as I've had since I've been here. So Christian's excellent, and then he's got some really good counterparts out there. You've got Devin Rice going into his final season. We've all know Devin. We've added Cordarius Bailey was here last year, and of course Cordarius got a season back because of a previous injury that he got a medical year back, so he came back to play in that particular year. And then picked up Malik. Malik Stewart was a junior college guy. We just felt we had to get bigger in the defensive line. And Carter Hewitt is the other defensive tackle up inside. So that defensive line has some size to it, has some talent to it. And I forgot to mention Cartez Jones. I tell you what, Cartez is a very good player. So we have depth there. And you got to have depth at the D-line because of the rotation of the D-line. Probably the most physical position, condition-wise, that plays on a football game, okay? DBs run a lot, receivers run a lot. D linemen, man, they are pushing, they are pulling, they are dragging. Probably has to be the most conditioned physical position that's played in a football game is D-line, and you need depth there. And we have depth there. That was the focus of going recruiting. We had to get that cleaned up from last year, and there's no question we've made gains in the defensive line in all those phases to look forward to. Linebacker-wise, work in progress. You have Ben Belkin coming back off last year. He started the games towards the back half of the season, I believe. And then other linebackers now. So Ben is in there as a guy that will play. Other linebackers that you'll look to is Edwin Dierman. I've kind of got to look at Edwin as a DB as much as a linebacker sometimes by how we play our defense. But so I'm going to put Edwin in the D-back category. So you've got Ben Belkin in the linebackers, Tucker Langenberg out of Des Moines, Urbandale linebacker. Those are two primaries. Frazier, okay, all guys that are young guys coming up that were developing in linebackers. So that's kind of a work in progress. So when you start talking DBs, it becomes a lot more developed or brought along as far as who's going to be out there. I think DeMarcus Governor, they call him Woo Governor. I still don't know where Woo come from, but it's DeMarcus Governor to me. So Gov is out there. And I would put Gov in Christian Boyd category. Man, that guy takes care of everything for me. He's always trying to help outside of football. He tries to mentor other guys. He tries to make sure things are right in every phase of the game because it's important to him. So Gov is a leader in the secondary. Edwin Dierman lives with those, and he's the other one that has really pulled everything together for us defensively, as well as you're going to see some new corners out there now, and those guys are in the mix of trying to figure things out. And there's three new guys out there, whether it be transfers or JUCOs, but we had to bring that along because I lost so many DBs last year. That was the COVID season of DBs when I lost all those older guys. So these guys have to backfill that COVID transition before we get the high school guys back in there. So that's kind of where that lands. If you got names to talk about, we will. And then kickers, specialists, Matt Cook is as good as there is, Cedar Falls High School. And then the long snappers will be Garmin. or Clausen will be the two long snappers. And then the punter is between Noah Pettinger and Kale Loescher. So Kale is back. He's healthy again. So he's battling. Noah kicked so well last year that there is a battle there at punter. But two great people that I have no concerns about. You know, I wish I could punt two guys in that situation. You can't, but those are two guys I'd punt either one of them and feel good about it. So those are the two guys running that phase of it. So the big thing, though, that you can make note of is the captains. Here's the cool part about it, in my opinion. The captains got chosen. When they walked in the door, I really had the coaches pick the first two captains, which is usually what players would pick right out of the gate. And I wanted to eliminate a couple guys from the captainship to really see where they felt the other leaders were. So the coaches chose Theo Day and Christian Boyd. So coming out of the gate on August 1st, those two were our two captains. And then I waited till camp was over, which was technically, yes, Wednesday. It wasn't over, but I wanted to get it for this. And so Wednesday night we voted for captains. And the other captains, I said, pick three more. And the vote was so close, I think I took four, and they're on the screen. So it is Matt Cook was chosen captain. DeMarcus Governor was chosen captain. Theo, of course, is captain. That's Christian Boyd is a captain. And Sam Schnee. And the one that's not on there, okay, is Chase Aarons. Chase Aarons is the captain. And so I tell you what, when you look at that, three of those guys are previous walk-ons. So three out of the four guys the team picked last night were walk-ons here. Guy out of Dubuque, guy out of Cedar Falls, and DeMarcus, who transferred in here and been here into his third year. So I think that speaks a lot to what the team is, speaks a lot to the culture of the team, and speaks a lot to that they're not just picking friends and it's not a popularity contest, because these guys are playing for us because they've worked their tail off and did it our way and did it their way and made themselves into players. They weren't the best coming out, but they've worked their way to the top to be the best, and that's who we are, okay? We don't get nothing for free around here, all right? And so we got to go find a way to earn it and to make the most of everything. And that's exactly what those three have done, which represents our program. So that's us. Coaching staff-wise, okay, you probably should hit on that real quick. It's fun, man. These guys are good guys. I got a great staff. I got a great football team as far as people. We'll figure out how good we are as coaches and players. But right now, man, practice is fun, and going to the office is fun. We've got the defensive staff is Jeremiah Johnson, Keelan Brookins, Bryce Pop, and Riley Van Wy. Okay, Riley played for me. He came back. He wanted to get into coaching. He got out of it for a year. He wanted to get into coaching, and Riley's done a great job. He's coaching the linebackers. Keelan's got the DBs. JJ's defensive coordinator. Bryce has a D-line. Okay, makes life really good for me personally, because how you communicate. I can get a defense ready in 30 minutes right now because of communication. What used to take me 3 hours, I can get done in 30 minutes now because you don't have to coach coaches. That's huge. And what they're doing is tremendous on the field with our players. Offensively, same thing. You got Bodie Reeder as the offensive coordinator. Joe Gantz is a passing game coordinator coaching receivers. You've got Rick Nelson, who we brought back, coaching the offensive line. Can't pronounce his last name, I apologize, but Brody comes to us, good young coach, all right, gave up a Division II coordinatorship out in Pennsylvania to come back and coach here in Iowa, and just wanted to get to, he's always wanted to be here at UNI. He's coaching our tight ends. He's excellent. He's detail-orientated. He's done a great job for us. He's kind of like the Riley Van Wy, and Brody were the two I brought in. So I always get confused, and I apologize right now. I got Bodie and Brody, so sometimes I call them the same thing, so it's hard on my end, but those two do a great job. But I'm going to tell you on all, and then Atif Austin, I apologize. Atif is our running back coach. So again, solid, get a lot done in a hurry, and yet the detail and what they know what to coach on the field. They know what to do in endo. They know what the temperament needs to be, and if I can get every segment with the same temperament and the same with the same purpose, then we're going to get to where we want to go quicker than probably normal. So feel good about all that, and I'll open it up for questions.
Mark, how can defense get off to a better start this season, you know, considering that you're going to have some guys playing that have a lack of game experience? So, you know, what gives you – you were just talking about how you can get a defense ready in 30 minutes instead of 3 hours. So how do you anticipate
I can get a practice ready. I said that wrong, okay. Didn't I?
But what makes you think that the defense can get off to a better start?
Defense. Well, one, you got to have the people, all right? And two, you better be able to communicate. There's a lot of things that go on in first three games even. Let's go to the Iowa State game. Y'all want to talk about it? Man, we don't know anything about them. They know a lot more about us than we know about them, all right? Same way with Weber State, all right? Weber State's the next and Idaho State. They'll all probably know, Idaho State's got a new staff. So all three of those people know more about us than we know about them. So what we have to do is, within our own system, within our own way of doing stuff, make sure our players and our coaches can communicate, because it's communication that saves time, not the practice. We practice a long time. We put in all that time. It is the prep and the communication that cuts time and makes you more efficient. And that is where we need to be efficient, because in each one of those games, why even bring it up, they know more about us than we know about them, is we're going to have to adjust. And if we can communicate and adjust more efficiently and effectively, we can do it within series and not halves. And that makes a big difference. That will have to happen in those three games, okay? If there will be stuff done at halftime, for sure, just because we don't know how people will line up or how they will react. And the quicker we get that done in the first or the second quarter, the more chance we got to be successful. And then yet, if coaches understand it, then you have to communicate it to your players, and they have to go play it. And you have to do it within words and systems and pictures in their mind, which is communication and teaching, that's why the first three games are always a challenge based off the communication of who your coaches are, who your players are, and do you have that connection that you can communicate via look and tone of voice as much as you can by words. That's a big part of it. And there, I'm seeing, just because of the coaching staff, it's always, we always got to build that with the players. But when you have to build it with the coaches and the players, it slows that process, particularly early in the season.
Coach, you play Iowa State first. They've got some guys going to be missing due to the gambling issues. Iowa had that too. A couple questions. How did you guys avoid that? I mean, what are you talking about in-house? And do you see a long-term solution so that off-the-field stuff doesn't come in and affect the Panther program or any program in college, for that matter?
You know, that's a great question across the country right now. And there's a lot of things that are tied to that, but go direct to your question. What do we do? Man, I just know from the start that it's education, all right? You're always trying to communicate that to them year-round, not just in seasons. You try to instill it in them, because it's one thing telling them, it's another thing to instill it in them. And I'm not saying we're perfect by any means or what we're doing is right. I'm just saying it is a continued conversation. It's brought up. It's brought up even in context with character and who you represent. Because I think when you represent something bigger than yourself, you got a little bit different thought of what you're doing. So I just know that we put the time in certain times of the year, whether it's in leadership development in the spring or of communication when you bring everybody into camp on August 1st. And then what stays with them is what you instill in them. And so I don't know if there's a great answer for what we do. I'm just telling you, we do it, and we know that we have to continue to do it, because anything could happen at any time. You just don't know what the future holds. I'll tell you the problem is, in my opinion, it's not in my opinion, it's the internet. I mean, you combine NIL, the internet, the portal, and gambling, and all the other things that go along with it. I mean, throw academics in that. I mean, it is, when you start putting portal, internet, and NIL all together at the same time, good luck. I mean, it is, man, you got a bunch of cattle in the pasture with no fence. All right, and that's the problem, is how to have oversight over that and have some type of inspection and oversight of that to control it. And I don't know that you really can, except for what you instill and what you try to educate them on, because they're on their own out there. And I don't know if that's a great answer. It's just my answer. Okay.
Last year when you brought in Bodie Reeder, you mentioned that the big thing was his offenses could score points. That's what you'd seen. What did he bring to the table last year that was a real value for you and I?
Confidence. He brought in confidence. He's not short of confidence. All right. And but he brings, you know, you gotta have that in you to be a great play caller. And to be a play caller, you gotta have the instincts of what to call. Everybody's got the same playbook. There's no genius in a playbook. I can draw you plays from 20 years ago and they're still plays today and they think they're new. But it is the confidence of the play caller and the instincts of the play caller to make it go. And then what do you instill in your players? what do you sell to your players about that play? So it's the salesmanship and the confidence you instill in the players to run that play is what makes the plays go. It isn't the lines on a piece of paper. What Bodie does is instill that energy, confidence, and will into the offense of this will work if executed in this way. And you get better production when players make the play work for you.
Matthew Cook has been consistently one of your hardest working and most capable players. How do you look to optimize him this season?
Matt? Kick a lot. All right. But hopefully we'll score. You know, I joke, but Matt Cook is a – he's a strength. When a person puts together a scouting report on us, Matt Cook is a strength because you put him down as 3 points if you get in that red zone. So you got to account for that what he does is gives you 100% value inside the red zone. Now, how far can you stretch that red zone is where you can start to answer your question directly is, if I can stretch that red zone by depth, then he's increasing his point value, which is when you get from out there in that high red zone out from the, past the 30, there's not a lot of kickers that will attempt that, nor coaches, even in the NFL, if you watch, of once you get past a certain area, it becomes, do I punt or not punt? So he creates a lot of problems on a scouting report because he has the leg strength and the accuracy and the experience. He creates those things, I would think, as the opponent breaking you down of what to do on down and distance once you break that 50-yard line, I would think. But in our regard, we need to score 7 points when we get in the red zone, not 3. Otherwise, you're not winning enough games. So he gives us a lot of value and security. But, it's a position that we might have become, that we assume we're going to make it just because we send him out there. And so we have to put the same time into him so he's prepared because, that's a tough kick from anywhere in the field when everybody's watching and it comes down to your kick. And many times it comes down to a kicker, less than 3 points. Go look at the scoreboards. We win most of our games by less than a touchdown. Okay, and that's just the league and the people that we play. So, yes, he's critically important to a football team. And more so, how can a kicker get named captain? That's how much he works in the weight room. That's how much he does all out of season. When you can get 110 guys and to vote for a kicker, it tells you a lot about what he's doing outside of just being a specialist.
Coach, Chase Aarons is your starting center, and you mentioned he was named captain as well. So obviously there's a lot of confidence in him and his teammates. What have you seen out of him?
That's the story of the day when I read the captainship the other day. Chase Aaron, I asked him to come back because he had another year. He walked on here, hasn't played a lot. During COVID, he got to start 3 or 4 games for us. And then we always had Eric Sorensen there. So he's always been that next man in role. And he could have easily went ahead and graduated and been done. And he wanted to come back and play. He leads us in the weight room every day. He's been doing it for 5 years and not being a starter. So he didn't have to be the guy to do the work. He was doing the work to be the guy. And this is his chance to be that person. And so, the first guy to touch the ball on every snap from center will be Chase Aarons. You guys want to put Theo Day on the cover, should be Chase Aaron because he's going to touch the ball first. So all those things matter. And when you start looking at how to run an offense and how to do the things that we want to do, the center is the one that's directing the traffic up there, and it's going to be Chase Aarons, the walk-on from Dyke. And you know why I took him even better? I took him because of a high school camp. He was out here in camp, and I was telling him this one. If we were in camp, and he's not 6'6", all right? We got all these big offensive line. Well, Chase ain't 6'6". And so I'm looking at him going, too short, too small, too whatever, And you're always looking for the Spencer Browns and the Trevor Pennings of the world. So there's old Chase. Well, Chase never got beat. We had pass rush as a pass rush. And here's this little guy from Dyke. I shouldn't call him that because he'd be mad to call him a little guy. But he's a big man now. But he never got beat in camp. So I kept grabbing guys from defense that were the best guys in the camp. And I said, hey, come over here, pass rush that kid. Had a good defensive end. He thought he was going to, pass rush that kid. Because I was looking at the defensive lineman to see if he was any good. They couldn't beat Chase. So I'm sitting there going, maybe I should take Chase instead of all these other guys that I was looking at. And Chase ended up walking on, and now I'm asking him to come back and be a part of this football team, and he's a captain on the football team. And that's a credit for the time that he's put in, because he's so resilient and so tough. It's what he is, why he is.
Mark, 3 or 5 losses last year to come within 3 points, which means, you know, a few plays go the other way. It's a 9-2 record with a win over South Dakota State. Is that something, kind of a carrot to chase for your guys? Like, we're this close, we just have to change a couple things? Or do you kind of wipe the slate clean? Doesn't matter if our losses were by 10 or 50 points. We just have to focus on next year.
I'm with you on the second phase, and my take on the way we approach it is, there's no special team out there to play. We've got to treat everybody the same. But at the same time, absolutely every game matters because of who we play. So get to the point is, I would prefer to shut the garage doors, turn the lights out, scoreboards off, take the phones away, and get ready for the season. And then start to present the opponent who it is. And all I'm looking at right now technically is the first three. Because the first three come so fast, Iowa State, Weber State, and Idaho State, and then we get an open date. So just by always look at the schedule, how do I set up the practice temperament, if you want to call it that, because it's those first three games and then we get a week that we can make some adjustments, bring somebody in, adjust something somehow. So open dates matter to me, how I practice. But in this particular case, the first three games are strong enough that you got Iowa State, Idaho State with a new state, but Weber State was won the Big Sky. I think they tied for the Big Sky last year. So no matter what's on the schedule, because, you know, you jump ahead, you go North Dakota State and South Dakota State are on the schedule, of course, and they're 1-2. You know, this team has got ranked 3rd in the league, which I thought was a compliment to the team. But, again, they mean nothing. But I just kind of want to see where the other people view you and your personnel based off what you did. So that kind of gives you a perception of how people see you. So, yes, we have a good team, but there's enough good teams in this league that, you know, it's going to be less than 7 points. That's how you got to be 4 quarters and all the way to the end. And there's a lot of things that are going to happen, from kickers to 2-minute offenses to first series of a game. They're all going to matter.
So you're not, this is way too specific example, you're not like showing film from a 3-point game last year saying what kind of close we were?
No, I don't think I showed any film from last year. Okay. The only thing we're showing them is camp and making the corrections of the players that we have.
Piggybacking a little bit on what you said, last year the bye week was really late in the season for you guys. You got a week for a bye week this year. How do you approach the season differently at this point, knowing the fact that you can kind of put your season into thirds, if you will?
It's personally, I like it that way because it gives us a chance. Look at this football team. I told you there's a lot of experience, but inexperience playing together. So we'll find out about our football team within the first three games and have a chance to play to their strength. I want to play to their strength, not to our strength. I'm going to find out what they can do and then play to what their talent is, because we've got to win now, not develop them 10 years from now. All right? It's today. And then once we get into the offseason, I'll worry about developing for 3-4 years down the road. But right now it's 1 week to get ready. So by playing 3 games, seeing what we are, and being challenged for 3 games, now we'll know what to do within that open date. And if we make the right choices, we can become stronger going into our conference season because of the adjustments that we make. Hopefully that's it. If we're playing well, there's still adjustments to be made because you got injuries and things like that that'll show up. But who knows how this thing unfolds? We've got to get more than 22 guys ready to play. I always do. You said the open date. I do rely on that open date. That's a big deal to me. And I gauge that when I put a plan together of what I can do and then the adjustments that I possibly could make. I've turned the whole defense around over an open date over the years just because it didn't fit the talent. So, and flipped it and we won the rest. So there's ways to do it and it can be done. But it takes, you just got to use your senses too and your instincts and see what's right for the team.
You talk about the desire to turn off, lock the doors, turn off all the scoreboards, not focus on any outside noise. A lot of excitement for this team in the outside noise.
Mm-hmm.
How we talked about it with Theo. There's a lot of pressure that comes with that. How do you extrapolate that to the whole team?
Huh. I do it every day, so I'm wondering what to tell you. And when I say that is, you know, it started with this cover. It's got, I know that's how it's viewed on the outside. And I'm going, I get it. That's it should be viewed. I understand why. But I also know to make that cover happen, it's about all the guys that got to put the time in so that we can be productive. And it's not on him, all right? Because we got to make plays around him. And I just need him to line up and continue to play with his, because it's not on him. It's up to us to figure out what his strengths are and who his go-to people are, and get them where they belong, get him where he belongs, and get him protected, and then get the ball back for him. Because, yeah, it will scores change defenses, okay? If it's a tight, low-scoring game, you play a certain way. If it's a wide-open game, you play a certain way. So offenses change defenses. Points on offense change defensive schemes. So who knows how this unfolds, but this is the conversation I have, man. You can't fear the air, all right? That's the first thing. Don't fear the air. There's always work to do. Heck, I put on the back of their shirts. And I said, man, the only easy day was yesterday. And, man, you better wake up and live every day, because somebody's coming after you. Somebody's getting better. Somebody knows more about you. Somebody's better than you are. You think you're good, you're probably going to get beat tomorrow. And if you think you're ready, you're probably going to get beat tomorrow. So the only easy day for us was yesterday. And to me, that is you and I football. Because go back to those three captains that walked on here. When they treated life like that, they became captains of a Division I football program. So that's that what you instill in them. That's what I try to talk about to them every day, because that's how they're going to have to play. Because we're on the road. We got to do this stuff on the road as much as in the dome. And it can't just be one game or looking for two teams or whatever. Man, we got to go on the road. We got to do this. We got to be the same on the road as we are at home. So that's kind of the message I send all the time.
What have you seen in fall camp from that group?
I've seen, I don't even call it competition. I've seen players working together. And it's those mixed offensive linemen is just as important as it is the player's talent. And Josh Volk has done a nice job, okay? He needs more consistency. You've got Blake Anderson, okay? Blake Anderson, very consistent, all right? Making plays out there. So you got his consistency. You got Josh Volk is coming along, trying to put confidence back into him that he had lost over the years. There's Kyle Kelly, all right? Good football player, good athlete. Just had lost confidence maybe, or didn't get the reps that he needed. So when you're not getting reps, you're not getting developed. And that's why some of these guys move on. And when we get them, they're technically behind a little bit because they haven't got the experiences on the field that maybe we get around here, or what they do in the weight room. So there's a catch-up mode there. But they have the talent. We got to get them caught up and developed in the way we do it. And everybody does it differently. So we do our time. We do it through the weight room, and we do it in units. And I told this story last night. Here's the offensive line. If you get great camaraderie, you always got a chance. Shoot, we moved kids in the other day. And I didn't even know if we helped move some kids in the other day. And I got the offensive line sit right there all the time. Chase Aaron sits right there. Theo sits at the end down there. And so I send them over there, and they come back, and we're kind of laughing. I go, how'd it go, da-da-da? You know, I figured they'd be done moving in 1:30. He goes, Coach, man, we had to move the stuff in all the way up to the fourth floor. Then I made them lift weights after that. So they said, we didn't need the weights. But the moral of the story is, so they're moving these people in. They said when they went in the room, they crowded in the little dorm room with all the offensive linemen and sang the fight song to them after they moved them in. So what I took from that is not the story, but the camaraderie and what we're trying to instill in them, because that's a unit that's within a unit. So that's a stepping stone, and they've progressed, and that's a new unit that did it, probably through the leadership of Chase in the whole thing. So when we have those things going on, when they're not provoked by coaches, then we're moving in the right direction.
2019, your prize recruit was Logan Wolf, and you might not have had a more hard-luck guy in the last next 4 years. What would it be like to have a healthy go-to Logan Wolf?
I've always said Logan might be the best athlete on this football team. Always has been. I saw him at when he was elite before he got hurt, and now the struggles afterwards. And he always gets ramped back up. You have never seen him top-end speed. You have never seen Logan at his where he was 3 years ago before the injury, 2 years ago, whatever it is. So Logan is elite. Logan spends more time in this building than anybody else, all right? Between the training room and the pre-stretch and the post-stretch and all that he does, nobody spends more time in this building than Logan Wolf. And yet his reps are limited just because of you are. There's some conservatism by myself even to bring him along at the right speed, because he knows what he's doing. That's not the question. It's getting him at 100% so he can play the level that he wants to play it, because it's harder on him than it is anybody else, because he wants it so bad. And when you can't get there because of what your body's telling you, it's hard. Not that he's not there now. I mean, he'll be there. But, yeah, if he was on the field and 100%, he'd be the one on the cover of this page right now.
Logan, as well as Sam, both of those guys maybe don't get the same attention as Sergio. Both are kind of undersized guys that maybe they don't get as much attention despite the fact that they've been here, 5 years. So you just ask about Logan. What about Sam? Like, what does he need to do to step up even to the next level and kind of match the work he's been putting in the last 5+ years? For the production to match.
I'm sitting here thinking about what he needs to do, because what he does every day is what makes him who he is. Come to practice this afternoon. Come on, practice on Monday. Go to the game on Saturday. They look the same to Sam Schnee. If I go out there and watch practice on Monday or Tuesday, he will look the same against Iowa State, against Indiana State, and against North Dakota State. He will look the same on Tuesday as he does on Saturday. That's why Sam Schnee is really good. And that's why he is so dependable, because when your timing is what it is, because of how you practice, that's how you play. And that's what makes Sam different. And that's what he's always brought to the table, is his speed of play on Tuesday is the same as the speed of play on Saturday.
Coach, it's a little bit open-ended, but what are your expectations for Theo Day this year?
To prepare every week in our system to good question. You stumped me. Really? I just want him to continue his progress and confidence. If he goes out and throws an intercept on the first play of the game, all right, move on. All right? It ain't the end of the world. All right? The defense goes out and plays. All right? But he needs to progress with his confidence, because he showed glimmers of excellent play through the end of the back half of the season. So he needs to pick up where he left off, or at least prepare like he left off, and as we go through the season, let us adjust and play to his strength instead of worrying about he's doing something wrong. All right, because it'd be real easy to watch the internet if something didn't go right and blame Theo. All right, but at the same time, no, he'll make an error. Man, just get on and get up and go on. Okay, this is a game of overcoming adversity, and the guys that do it the best will win the game in the end. So that's what he needs to do, and that's my expectation for him. It's not on your shoulders, all right? Everybody's involved, although you'll be the one that will always have a mic in your face after the wins and after the losses. So don't worry about it. Play your game and prepare your way, and don't get caught up in the fog, which is all the stuff that we're talking about right now that everybody wants to talk about. So there's a fog to that, and it does. We're all human. It works on you. Okay, just like camp. That's the message I gave him this morning, man. I wake him up this morning because we had a meeting at 7:30. We're not same as. If we're same as, we're no good. We can't come in here and think this is same as, just get through the day. And I told you, man, we've got to get better today, because yesterday was easy compared to what today's going to be. And if we approach it that way, we can get better today. But if we come out here just because it's pitcher day and do same as down there, we don't get better today. And when you start to do that, people catch up and pass you. And we can't afford to do that. So I tell the same thing to him, okay? Can't be same as, but you got to do the work, and then let the game come to you instead of chase the game.
I want to talk about Theo. You mentioned the importance of his supporting cast. You go 3 deep at a running back. Your wide receiver core is as deep as I've seen. Talk a little bit about the guys surrounding him.
Well, we surround him for a reason, because it's not on him. But if you give him enough people to give it to, you know, he's got a chance, and then we can spread this field. And there was a point to the recruiting, and so we'll see how it plays out. He's got good people around him. You know, how people defend us now is up to them. But we got good people around him. We had to get a tailback so they can't defend a pass all the time. We got to get the protection, okay? All this goes out the window without those offensive linemen. And those two tight ends we don't even mention. If we can't protect, you guys are writing a different story. So we got our work to do, and we got some people to give the ball to. We just got to get the time to give it to them.
Every team's got their own personality every year. You know, it's a little bit different. Are there some, I guess, inside motivational tools, things like that, that the kids are using this year to motivate themselves? I mean, like, some teams have, not talking about the chains and things like that, but some things that they use as student leaders that may be different this year.
I think what they've, I'm going to go back to what they did in the summer, because that's them. I mean, our guys stay around here because it's on them, okay? It isn't some of these other programs that, you know, they got everything paid for. These guys stay because they want to. And I had 100 guys stay this summer and work out every day. And that's and how they work out. I'm going to go back to Jed is a big part of this. He won't be on down that floor because he never comes out, all right? Because he's always in that room up there. Jed's been with me for 14, 15, 16 years. And Jed puts instills in what we want, which is the mind candy that we give them all year long, that we give them in the summer. And the summer is where you develop your culture, not during the season, all right? And then now we're getting them ready to play a game. But what they did, what they say, and what they do in a weight room setting before they even start that, we call it mind candy. Those are the things that they start to learn a little bit about themselves, not just as football players, but as what their families are like, where they're from, get to know a little bit more about them. Because in the summer, that's when you really find out about who they are. I was an old strength coach, and that's what I learned as the strength coach is you learn about the players in the off season in the weight room. I didn't learn about them when I was a linebacker coach. I knew my group. But, man, when you're with the whole football team in the weight room, they're different in the weight room. That's when they really are truly just working for themselves and, like you said, creating their own culture, which is, you know, they'll play for each other. So I don't have any great mantra for them, but.
So what is his mind candy?
His mind candy?
What do you mean by mind candy?
Mind candy. Mind candy is what he does right before the lift starts. Mind candy to us is what is the basically the purpose of the day, the words before we start the lift that day. And so he brings in quotes or something, applies the quote, applies it to the time of year, whatever it is. And, you know, sometimes it's a military day or something, so he'll get some quote to tie to that ties to football. During the football during the off season, a player sometimes will bring in a quote, okay, and then explain what the quote means to him. So we just take those verbiages that maybe we can all find what means something to us personally, and then try to tell people what it means to us. And when a kid stands up and does that in front of a team, it's hard to do for these guys to stand up in front of their whole team and expose themselves like that. But to me, that's what Jed calls mind candy. We've been doing that for 16 years. He's been doing that. So he's one you ought to be talking to, all right? He's as good as it gets, man, all right? And that's why we're as good as we are. He does it and within our system and fits what we do on the field every day of the week.
You mentioned Brandon Elkin as one of the linebackers that stood out to you so far. What has that group done over the course of the offseason to get ready for this year?
They just got to learn how to play. Linebackers is everybody's at a different stage. They just got to learn how to play. And their movement is totally different than everybody else's. So they got to fit a lot of things. They got to be in the front and they got to be in the secondary. So when I say learn how to play, their knowledge base has to be the highest on defense. And that's not easy, not in our defense. So their knowledge base and then to them to retain it so that they can play it. Because you want to play fast, but if you put to overload them, they start to hesitate. They're on overload syndrome, okay? Just because of what we expect of them. So yeah, they got to learn how to retain, play, and run our defense the way we want it. But that's a heavy load on a linebacker because we ask them to do a lot, understand a lot, and make decisions within split seconds of the snap of the ball.
Four MVFC teams make the top 25, six Big Sky, five CAA. There seems to be this national perception that the MVFC is top heavy and maybe not so much as quality down the line. Where are your thoughts on that?
I'm careful because I played two Big Sky teams, all right? But here's what I tell you. Here's our league, not just this year, any year. Polls are probably the most misconceived things in FCS football because of schedules, all right? And that's the craziness of it. So our FCS is so top-heavy, bottom-heavy, I want to call it, there's no equity in scheduling, none. And then you look at polls with less exposure, if you will, by TV, and then you got guys voting on the East Coast and the West Coast based off scores and records. So the top 20 mean nothing to me in a coaches poll nor a AFCA poll, because records in the first three. Throw out the conference, throw out the non-conference game, or I'll look at every poll you throw at me. Keep the conference games. That's equity within the conference. Okay, let's see what it looks like. But throw out those non-conference games, all right, and let's just see what you are within your league. And, yeah, when you got good teams, I mean, proven this league over the years, you can read it for yourself. But at the same time, you start playing within your league and start playing each other, and then the wear and tear of playing with each other, you know, that speaks for itself, I think. But I do believe in a frustrated way that people start believe polls when really the polls are so misconceiving in FCS football more than anything else because of non-conference schedules. So strength of schedule is the first thing you ought to go to when you look at polls, because you can get a lesser record team should be sitting in the top 20 versus maybe somebody that's 10-1, all right, when you go head-to-head of what they've done versus what you've been expected to do. So, yeah, but here or there, I play three Big Sky, and to me, the Big Sky is the best league in the country besides ours, because I got to play them.
So MBFC
is
the best, though?
Huh?
MBFC is the best.
See, you're trying to stir up the pot on the Big Sky. I'll give you the no comment. It all there. Big Sky is really good, man, because they got, man, Montana State, they're – I look for finances, I look for budgets, I look for everything. I look for tradition and budgets, all right? And Montana State got tradition and budgets, all right? And then I look for Weber State. Yeah, I look at the staff and what they're doing, and they're grinding away. And then you got a Sac State that shows up and blows it out of the water. So you got those teams that show up. You got the ones that got money and history. And that's where it creates strength. And go look at any league I just talked about, whether it's Delaware or Montana or everybody in between. Look for those things, and you'll probably find how good they are.
Jared Penny, three-year starter now, probably one of the most experienced players on that offensive line. What has he done over the course of the offseason to step up here?
Jared?
Yeah.
Jared really came – he's really matured. And when I say that, is he just became more intent and focused on his game. I think that comes from his big brother. I mean, you saw what his big brother did, and the maturity is just that he's aged now enough that he knows the importance of the detail, he knows the importance of the size and the weight and the percent body fat and all the things that maybe a young person doesn't look at. He understands now through his brother. So, yes, he's changed his game. He's changed his play a lot because of, I think, his experiences with his brother as much as what we do. So, and that's part of growing up, but it's also a huge part of what's been instilled, what he's really looked to that he wants to be like, and through what Trevor did. Anybody else?
Some of the ways that Cordarius Bailey has grown and stepped up on the D-line for you and I and helping to lead that.
Cordarius, I tell you what, Cordarius is a great story, in my opinion. He is. He came here out of Iowa State. Just came in and worked. He doesn't say a whole lot. Great person, but you got to get to know him. And then once he really probably felt like he was a part of our team and not just on our team, that's when he really started to get good. And that was the difference in his makeup, because it was. Sometimes it's hard to break in as much as a person that isn't flamboyant. And I think when he felt like he became a part of the team, that's when he really started to excel. And now he's a huge part of the defense and looked to on the defense. And him and Jared Penny go head-to-head every day. Him and, man, they go out and battle every day, and they've become competitive friends on the field, which is, I wouldn't have said that maybe last year at this time, because he was still finding his way and people were trying to figure people out. But Cordarius will be a factor in our season. He is a great person, and I look forward, because he got to come back for that extra year, and it might be the best year that changes his life potentially by getting that extra year to come back and play, because he's changed that much since he's been with us.